Would you please now hear the word of the Lord as it is given to us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, for you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Come to him, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. And live like living stones. Be yourselves built into the spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and he who believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, therefore, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and a stone that will make men stumble, a rock that will make them fall. For they stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord, and can be trusted. So now that some of us are watching a whole lot more movies than we used to, have you noticed how in disaster movies, it always seems to start with the government not listening to a scientist? Hopefully, all of us are taking time to listen to God. Certainly, there is a lot of uncertainty about when and how and what and how things should open up. There's always, though, been uncertainty about how to open things up, not just the government or the economy. God wants to make sure that we ourselves are opened up. I mentioned earlier that Mother's Day is a proud day for some, but for others it's a painful day. And for just about everyone this year, this Mother's Day is going to be different. Mother's Day can be complicated. Our children are adopted. And when they were young, sometimes people would come up to us and say, "Do you ever want to have real children?" Seriously? So what? Our children are fake? What's going on there? And so that's why sometimes you'll see that plaque for adoptive parents that says, "You may not have grown up under my heart, but you certainly have grown up inside of it." And that's actually where we all live, inside God's heart. Why do we have such a hard time recognizing and including all of God's children? On this Mother's Day, I don't want to focus on stretch marks, but on stretching the circle. It's possible that our passage today was a letter that was written to new Christians, people who had just joined the church, people who had just been baptized. It's exciting when we stretch the circle that way to have people coming to the Lord to be baptized. That's an exciting way to stretch the church. I remember a small, tiny little church, Watts Bar Lake. Watts Bar Lake is there between Chattanooga and Knoxville. It's a little village, a little church there. And you know how we have our sunrise? Well, we used to have the sunrise Easter service at the beach and have our baptisms there. And this church, they did it on Easter evening, right there on the lake. And they set up little makeshift tents, and the candidates, after they were baptized, would be able to change back into dry clothes. They would have a fire going there on the shoreline, and they would be singing songs and cooking supper. And after everyone had been baptized, then Glenn Hickey, always Glenn Hickey, would introduce each candidate that had been baptized. And he would give the name and where they lived and where they work or went to school. And then after that, each member of the congregation would step forward and they would introduce themselves. And they would say, "Hi, my name is," and if you ever need firewood chopped, they'd say, "Hi, my name is," and if you ever need a babysitter or someone to sit with someone who is sick, "Hi, my name is," and if you ever just need general household work done at repairs done at the house, "Hi, my name is," and if you ever need clothes mended or hemmed, then do you know what they would call that? They called it church. They called it community. They called it family. It's exciting when you get to stretch the circle that way. Sometimes you stretch the circle in surprising ways. You're not even at a church. No one's being baptized. I remember, sometimes, did you know it can happen in an airport parking lot, parking garage? It happened at the Los Angeles airport parking garage. This is years and years ago, before they had all the safeguards they have in place now. Larry lived in L.A., and his friend from New York, Nick, was coming from New York. And Larry had parked a car in the parking garage and went to the airport and picked up Nick and got Nick out. And they came out to the car and he opens the passenger door for Nick to get in and opens the trunk to put the luggage in. And then as he's opening up the driver door, he accidentally bumped the car next to him. Well, the driver happened to be in that car and he jumps out of the car and he starts yelling and using profanity and just cussing Larry out upside one side and up the other. And Larry's like, "I'm so sorry. I didn't leave any mark. I don't see any damage." But the guy just wouldn't let it go. Just going on. And Larry said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean anything by it. There's no mark. Everything's so..." And just guy continued to go on. Larry's apologizing. Nick has had enough. Nick jumps out of the passenger seat and comes around. He says, "Hey, you, why don't you just shut up and get there?" And now he started using profanity. "And get in your car and get out of here." And the driver looks at Nick and says, "I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to him." And Nick says, "When you're talking to him, you're talking to me. Now, you want to mix it up right here? We got a space right here. You got two choices, my friend. When you're talking to him, you're talking to me. You can either get in your car and leave, or we can finish this right now." Well, the guy chose to get in his car and leave. A surprising way to stretch a circle and find out that when you're talking to him, you're talking to me. But sometimes stretching the circle comes at a high cost. You may never have heard of Jonathan Merrick Daniels. But in 1965, he was a seminary student, a seminarian, at the Episcopal Theological School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And in March of 1965, over the TV, he heard Martin Luther King Jr. speak. And he heard King's appeal for clergy and others to come down to Selma, Alabama, and help register people for the vote. And Daniel's heart was moved, and he got a few of the other students, and they went down to Selma to register people for the vote. But while he was there, John saw what was going on, and it just broke his heart. And so he got a leave from the school to continue to be working through the Episcopal Church at racial integration. He made inroads into the African-American community down there. They knew him as a friend. Together, they would go into different Episcopal churches to worship together. And although they were never kicked out, most of the time they were not overly accepted. People would be rude in their hot stares and in their words. But he continued in different places, going, making inroads, trying to get integration, and on he would go through the entire summer. On August the 14th of 1965, he and three of his friends joined a picket line and ended up being arrested. Surprisingly, unexpectedly, 6 days later, on August the 20th, Jonathan Merrick Daniels and his three companions were released from jail. And so they get out of jail and they're walking. It's hot. It's Alabama. It's August. And they're walking down the street and they see one of those corner grocery stores. One of the people with John was Ruby Sales. Ruby Sales was a 16-year-old African-American girl. And she goes up the steps so they can all go inside and get a cool drink. And out comes Tom Coleman. Tom Coleman was a construction supervisor, but he was also a deputy there in Hayneville, Alabama. And he starts cussing Ruby out, calling her all kinds of rude and ugly names. And then he gets his shotgun and he levels it straight out at her. And Daniels pushes her to the side and the blast hit him square in the chest. He died immediately. 6 weeks later, an all-white jury found Thomas Coleman not guilty. About a year after that, Tom Coleman was interviewed, and he said, "If I had the chance to do it again, I would have killed them both." No remorse, no regret, just hate about having a circle stretched. Jonathan Merrick Daniels gave his life trying to stretch the circle, trying to show that all of God's children were in God's heart. The point of receiving the good news, the point of receiving God's grace, is to share God's grace. And if we haven't done that, then we really don't have it. It's not about whose chromosomes we carry in our hearts. It's about who is in our heart. Mother's Day is not a reminder about stretch marks. It's a reminder about stretching the circle. Being inclusive because we ourselves have been included in God's circle of grace. Do you remember Edwin Markham's quote? "He drew a circle that shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win, and we drew a circle that drew him in." The church has not closed. The church has simply left the building. But then, that's what we've always done. That's what the church does. Do you remember our bulletins when we had bulletins? The bottom at the end of the order of worship, it always said, "Worship is over. Let the service begin." And that's where the church is. It's out there where you are because you're a part of the body of Christ. Stretching the circle to make sure that everyone knows they are God's children, included in the family of God, living in the heart of God. Thank you for your ministry. Amen. I mentioned earlier your faithfulness and your generosity with the gifts that you have been mailing in. And I would like now to dedicate these gifts. Would you please join me in prayer? Lord our God, I thank you so much that you have given us this opportunity to remember that you are a God of abundance and not scarcity, that you are a God of generosity. And we pray, Lord, that as your life has touched our life, as your grace has touched us, that we may continue to be living stones, living examples of your abundance and generosity. Receive these gifts, that the good news of your grace may continue to be shared. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We come now to our time of communion. And I don't know what emblems you're using there at your place of worship. Here we'll be using the bread and the grape juice. But wherever we are, those emblems are a reminder to us of God's grace and God's goodness to us. It reminds us that God's intention is that all people understand everyone is included. All people are welcomed. For on the night when the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you so much that you do give us these emblems to taste and to hold, emblems to remind us of your love and of your grace, of your forgiveness and of your strength, to understand that through these emblems you are empowering us to continue to share your love, your grace with others. You are empowering us to be your disciples, to be the church. May we receive your Holy Spirit as we receive these emblems, empowered to share your good news. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. As we come to the close of our worship time together, would remind you what it said on the bulletin. The worship is over. The service is beginning. And we need to remind ourselves of what our true identity is. Our identity are as followers of Jesus Christ, because we are disciples of Jesus Christ with the mission to stretch the circle, to share the good news, to share God's grace. Now, if there's someone here watching this service now that is ready to receive that grace, I'm going to ask you two questions in just a moment. And for the rest of us, this is going to be an affirmation of faith. For others, it's the confession of faith. For all of us, it's an opportunity to be involved in the mission of the church. Here are the questions. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? God bless you and thank you. Happy Mother's Day as we stretch God's love to all the world. Amen.